Scripture reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. Revelation 21, 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with people. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." This is the word of the Lord.
启示录第21章1到5节。我又看见一个新天新地，因为先前的天地已经过去了，海也不再有了。我又看见圣城新耶路撒冷由上帝那里从天而降，预备好了，就如新妇装设整齐，等候丈夫。我听见有大声音从宝座出来说，看哪，上帝的帐幕在人间，他要与人同住，他要做他的子民，上帝要亲自与他们同在，做他们的上帝。上帝要擦去他们一切的眼泪，不再有死亡，也不再有悲哀、哭号、疼痛，因为以前的事儿都过去了。坐宝座的说，看哪，我将一切都更新了。又说，你要写上，因这些话是可信的，是真实的。阿们。
Well, this morning we gather as one congregation to celebrate Christ the King Sunday. As I've said in times past, it's a relatively new addition to the liturgical church calendar. 1925, as a matter of fact, but Pope Pius XI ordered this to be observed among Catholic churches, and they actually observed it in October until 1970 when it was moved to the final Sunday of ordinary time. That's today, by the way. But what does the day celebrate? As the CRI Voice website declares, as the last Sunday of the Christian church year, Christ the King Sunday is the climax and conclusion of the church's liturgical journey through the life of Christ and the gospel message. Its purpose is to celebrate the coming reign of Christ as King of the earth, and his completion of the renewed creation that marks the fullness of the kingdom of God. Maybe you weren't aware that there was sort of an idea of a church calendar, a liturgical church calendar, that helps us understand this better. Maybe you were, but maybe some of us were not. And to help us celebrate those special times and remember those seasons and specific events recorded in the Scripture, it helps us bring order to our spiritual lives. And with all the chaos that we have experienced both recently and certainly these past 18 or more months, isn't it good to know that despite the chaos, there can be order? That despite the storm, there can be calm. peace in place of anxiety. We can find order. Think of the order. Let it shape your life positively for Jesus' sake and his kingdom. A calendar that begins with Advent, with prophetic hope. The anticipation builds for us. It's a remembering the waiting for Jesus to come. By the way, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. During Advent, we build our anticipation until we can read those words that the angel declares, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Then we declare with the songwriter, "Behold your King, before him lowly bend." And as we move through that calendar year, we remember other times in the scriptures and the seasons. As Jesus begins his ministry formally, John the Baptist looks at him and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in the season of Lent, we encounter Jesus riding into Jerusalem at the beginning of Holy Week to that prophetic refrain of Zechariah 9, "Behold, your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And then as the darkness of Good Friday arrives, Jesus is arrested and he's taken before Pilate, who proclaims the same phrase, the same words, only with different intent, when he says to the Jews, "Behold your King." And they cry, "Away with him, crucify him." Pilate responding, "Shall I crucify your King?" And the chief priests answer, "We have no king but Caesar." And so he was delivered over to be crucified. From Advent's hope to Good Friday's despair, the calendar and order takes us through that journey. But the story doesn't end there. He was crucified, yes. He died, yes. He was buried, yes. But on the third day, he rose again triumphantly, the triumphant King of Kings. As Trevin Wax puts it, the history of the world is told in the tales of kings and kingdoms, people grappling for or holding on to power. The authority God invested in Adam is twisted into abuse and domination, with everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. We need a king, someone to put things right, someone to lead us. And make no mistake, my brothers and sisters, we have a king. Amen? Amen? The only question I have for you this morning is, so who is king of your life? This Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, beckons us, brings us to the climax of that journey. Those many moments we are told to behold throughout the church calendar year comes to a crescendo where we hear it once again, celebrating the coming reign of Christ as King of the earth and his completion of the renewed creation that marks the fullness of the kingdom of God, as we hear the Lord proclaim, "Behold, I am making all things new." Behold. This is a good word to meditate on. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, 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 because it is an important word, and repetition makes for good memory, by the way. But I don't want you to just remember it. I want you to experience it, to resonate with it, to feel it. Behold. Listen to the richness of the thing that we are called to do. Behold. It's a word we find often in the Bible that wants us to really focus, meditate on the moments to which it calls or draws our attention. To behold goes beyond just seeing something or taking a quick glance or something like that. It's the kind of word that grabs you and says, pay attention. Look closely. Fix your eyes upon this situation. Look intently and focus. Do you want to know why I love that word and why I think we need to grab hold of that word? because we are losing the ability to pay attention. We ourselves, even as Christians, sometimes fail to pay attention to what God is doing. It is said that we need a commercial break every 6 minutes or so because that's our attention span. So here's a word from our sponsor. You didn't think I was actually going to put up a commercial, did you? Well, maybe now we've reset our attention span. So let's keep going. Because you need to behold. Behold the promise. There are a lot of great and incredible promises in the book of Revelation. Considering all that is happening in our world, pandemic, flood, volcanoes, disasters, supply chain shortage, grocery store shelves going bare, no more toilet paper at Costco or gas at the gas station. You'd probably think that maybe I should be preaching on the seven seals of Revelation or something like that instead. But we're not. What I want to focus our attention in particularly is to Revelation 21, verse 5. In that word I've already mentioned, that word behold. In the ESV it says behold. Other English translations say look or see. But I love that rich word behold. We don't use it very much in English anymore. But it fits well into the context of Christ the King Sunday as the climax of the church year, because it beckons us to pay close attention to a truth we need to cling to, a truth that is not only true for the future consummation of all things, but it is also true here and now today. A phrase, behold, I am making all things new, that beckons us to go back to the book of Isaiah where we read it as well as looking forward to the renewal of all things at the end of times. But it's written in the present tense. That tells me it won't just be true in the future when God will make all things new, but he is continuing to make all things new even here, even now. And Scripture confirms that elsewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8 says, and we all with unveiled faces contemplate the... I love that, in light of the fact that we wear masks all the time. But think of it this way. We with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 4, it says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And Philippians 1, of course, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He is making all things new. Isn't that good news to celebrate today? Who doesn't like new things, right? I mean, if money was no object, we'd always buy the new car, the new house, the new clothes. The new toys and gadgets and devices. I mean, we're a very materialistic world, in fact. But we love the things that are new because my point is simply this. There's beauty in the idea of something new. We clamor and long for something new. It even invokes the senses. Some of you don't like it, but I actually like that new car smell. It brings something special in the moment. We clamor and long for new. And the culmination of the church calendar points us to the one who can and does make all things new. There's a blogger by the name of Caitlin Placencia who wisely and wonderfully points out that new is one of God's promises to us. And remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, all his promises are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And Revelation 21 verse 5 confirms this as well. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. As believers, this is where our hope ultimately rests. This is why this pinnacle, this crescendo moment in the church calendar is so important, because we trust in the promise that Christ can and does make all things new. Yes, he will one day, but he does today as well, and that all his promises are yes and amen, and these words are trustworthy and true. All things new, even us. When you look at the word new in the book of Revelation, Leon Morris points out that this word has a way of recurring throughout the book. The faithful are given a new name in chapters 2 and 3. The angels sing a new song in chapter 5. The new Jerusalem is mentioned more than one time. A new heaven, a new earth, and all things new. The idea of new speaks of something fresh as opposed to something recent. Quality rather than date. Len Sweet puts it this way. He says, think new in kind, not just another. That's what Jesus does. He makes all things new. As the song we sometimes sing, in, at least in our English service, suggests, we see he makes all things new as he turns sorrow into peace, despair into belief, darkness into light, blindness into sight. Even as our passage suggests, he will wipe away every tear. There will be no more death. There will be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. New creation, new place, new life. These are the promises we can count on, both in the culmination of all things, when Christ shall come, and in the here and now, for he is with us. His Holy Spirit residing in the heart of every believer. The passage here focusing on the fact that God is with us. Think about your own life. He has already made you new and is continuing to make you new. He redeems, he restores, he renames, he resurrects. This is how he makes things new. He redeemed you, bought you at a price in order to set you free from the power and penalty of sin. He restores you. As Placencia writes, he restores us to a right relationship with him through the gift of forgiveness and justification. He is able to restore earthly relationships, and he can even restore the days and years that have been lost to the effects of sin, as Joel 2:25 claims. And that has to be some of the greatest evidence of the extravagant nature of God's mercy. Not only can he renew a life and redeem its future, but he can also redeem its past. This is how God makes things new, even here and now. He renames you. Think of the scriptures, all those times when people's names were changed for significant reasons. Abram to Abraham, expressing that covenant promise, Sarai to Sarah, because she laughed, and there's all kinds of other names, Simon to Peter, Saul to Paul, moments where people receive new identities. Their names change to indicate the new relationship. You and I may not have physically had our names changed coming to know Jesus, but our identities have been renewed, been made new. Because if you are in Christ, you have been given a new name, a new identity. Are you living according to your new name with renewed purpose? He resurrects. He raised Lazarus, Jairus' daughter. Eutychus was raised. And of course, Jesus was raised to life. God has the power over sin and death and makes dead things alive again. Surely he can take whatever ails us, whatever is before us, and resurrect it and make it new, can't he? Do you believe this to be true? Behold, he is making all things new. Let me ask you a question. What needs to be made new in your life today? And I'll be very honest. There are parts of my life and my family's life that's kind of a bit messy and stressful right now. Some of you know the details. Others, don't worry. Just pray for Pastor Al. That's good enough. There are moments, there are parts that I need God to make new, to renew, to restore, to redeem. What about you? I'm going to ask you to do something right now. We placed little pieces of paper in the pew. Oh, there should be one somewhere nearby. If you don't want to use that piece of paper, that's fine. Use your bulletin. If you're more tech savvy, take out your phone right now. Open up your notes app, whatever it might be. I want you to pray for a moment in your heart and think, what do I need God to make new right now? And write that down. Jot it down on your phone. Write it down on that piece of paper. Write it down on the back of the bulletin. Whatever you want to do. Go ahead. While I'm up here, go ahead and do that. For those who are at home, grab a piece of paper yourself. Scramble to the kitchen, to that kitchen drawer where all the pieces of paper and pens and pencils are, and do it yourself. Or if you're watching this later as a replay as well on our live stream. And as you write, begin praying. Begin praying for that one thing that you need God to make new. You may not see an answer today, tomorrow, or even next month or next year. But one day, He will make all things new. Begin praying daily for Him to make that one thing new in your life. If you're adventurous and willing to be vulnerable before the end of today or within the next couple of days, share that one thing with someone else. And commit to praying for one another that God would make that new in each other's life. You see, that's part of being the family of God. That's part of being the church. That's part of being part of the kingdom of God. Because it means we serve a great King, Jesus, together. One who makes all things new. No matter what storm you are facing, what anxieties you might have, what mountain you need to climb, what failure you think you can't overcome, what pain you need healed, whatever new disaster, disease, or discouragement that comes your way, you have in Jesus, King Jesus, the one who is with you, the one who is able to make all things new. So behold, I had this problem with this remote. I think I got to get a new remote. Can you advance to the next slide? It's the last slide. So behold, pay close attention. His promise is this: He is making all things new. Trust in Him, for His promises are trustworthy and true. Let us close in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we conclude this sermon and we start to focus and think toward the table, we pray for that one item some of us have written down. And some of us maybe just in our hearts. We pray that You would begin to work in our lives in such a way as to make that one thing new. Help us to behold and to just truly pay attention to the way that You are always at work in our world, making all things new. For Your sake, in Your kingdom, in Jesus' name.